deadline for people to respond in writing. The following newspapers have been made use of: Sunday Times, The Herald, Mail and Guardian, and City Press. So that we are clear as to how this process is moving forward. Now, a program that has since been revised and accordingly approved by the Speaker's office instructs us that we pursue this bill within this current record time. Following this process that we are in today, we have scheduled here 14th and 15th of August, which is week after. That shall then take us the whole day, 9 to 5 in the afternoon, respectively those 2 days. And then also, we are expected to deliberate on the bill itself on the 21st of August. Which also will take us a whole day as we are anticipating an adoption of the law on that same day. I just thought, let me just outline that process where we come from and just where we are heading towards. Okay, I take it that is fine with all of us. A number of issues have been raised quite important as I was raising. You see, with that tagging, you know, the danger of it, you can go far only to be turned back if you do not or did not do the proper, you know, tagging. Whether Section 75 or otherwise. If you have to look at the bill itself at the end, there is a brief, you know, explanation as to the tagging mechanism that is being made use of. I take it that this session that we are in now is going to assist us a great deal. Because we did not go for any word-for-word text. That we shall do when we are doing that 21st August session, because we shall be expected to do a thorough job on that day. It can be tedious. We should also expect members to really take some time off and do a proper reading, you know, where there are no crossing of the T's and I's, language, and of course the content itself. Preparation for that very last day. If there is anything else, perhaps on the second round, members are more than, you know, welcome to take the platform. Could be out of the issues raised, could be new issues. I saw a hand, Mr. Gaylor.
No, Chairperson, it's just a comment. First of all, I want to thank the acting DG because it's clarified whatever my question is answered on the side. But Chairperson, you know, we got to learn from what other departments are doing. When we talk of a skills audit, which I'm concerned about, Deputy Minister, it has been done, Honorable Minister Chula's voice has been in for a few months, but he's done that and he's done that properly. In as much that he knows that in the next 5 years, we need so many professionals involving every stakeholder, all the associations. Now, what I'm then saying that is that your skill audit must be forecast so that in the next 5 years we don't have the same problems. you involve the Minister of Higher Education in your skills audit. This is what the country needs. That's what I'm talking about. It's, you can look at public works, how it's done there by Minister in Mwesi. That is what you call a proper skills audit.
Answer that, Mrs. Steng.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm still with this thing of there was an answer on, I think I have some 30 students somewhere around there that graduate every year. Is that just veterinarians? And what would the para-veterinarians be and how many would that be? So that we know how many of people are we talking about in total that we need to deal with. That's the first question. And then secondly, Chairperson, there was a mention about the vacancy rate in the department itself. Whether the department, I know it's maybe a difficult question, but whether they envisage that some of the students might stay on in these posts, I'm sure that must be part of the plan, Chairperson. And I'm also concerned about mention being made that, you know, people are not really sure, students, about what it is that the state veterinarians would do. I would like to find out from the department themselves what kind of program do they have in place to visit or to take the students for days out as to see what the state is doing in trying to attract people to come and work for the state. If you have some kind of program in place to ensure that we do that. And then, Chair, just out of curiosity, I have no idea. What is the, maybe in percentage-wise, or you don't have to give me the amount, but the difference in salary between a person working for the state and a person working for another private company? I'm just trying to get an idea why we have a problem that people don't want to work for the state. Is it just the salary or do we have another problem?
Okay. I take it we are almost, you know, concluded with the questions as they would relate to the bill itself. Because if we were to listen to ourselves, these are more issues that would take us to a session either when dealing with either a report or a plan being presented to the committee or any other period of time that the committee may wish to call on the department on a specific program that deals with animal protection would really have to present, you know, its status quo. As a result, all of these questions and more will arise. I think we should, you know, thank the department, notwithstanding the questions raised on the work done thus far, with regards to the amendments to the Principal Act. As I was saying earlier on, I think what is important and very critical for us would be to do a thorough reading of both the Principal Act and also the amendments as we prepare for that period. I'm not sure if I was just asking Dineo as to what has been the response. I saw one correspondence here from, I can't remember where it is coming from, Grad Fire, with some long acronym, EAMSAFSI. Three issues raised there that talk very much to whatever. Dineo was saying that there probably are a few that could perhaps be coming because today is the deadline. So we shouldn't really worry much about whether we have had only one response.
I can just inform that the University of Pretoria has been in serious consultation with the Ministry of Education on a skills audit, to such extent that I can say if we can get so many graduates now, today, then we need so many per year forever. But to catch up the backlog is not so easy because we do not want to run into overproduction. So it's a very difficult mathematical question, but they're all working at it. They're working hard.
Thank you. And the second one was just on how many beds, para beds. Because I've got the specifications about 500 a year, and they just over 100. I'm not sure how many every year, but you'll know the exact figures.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Chairperson and honourable members. As we indicated, with veterinarians, you're talking between on average between 80 and 120, 130 per annum qualifying. When you speak about animal health technicians, you're speaking about an average of 110 per annum. When you're speaking about veterinary nurses, you're talking an average of between 38 and 42 per annum. And speaking about veterinary technologies, you're talking of an average of about possibly 20 qualifying per annum. And speaking about the laboratory animal technologies, as I indicated, unfortunately we don't have any institute that is currently training. So we generally have about one that qualifies abroad that comes to try and register with us.
Now the question is not on the bill, but broadly as I understood it was on the vacancy rate from the Honourable Stein. And I think what's interesting from our perspective is that we get more applicants at the moment when we advertise for state veterinary positions in the department than in the past. And even like previously there was a discussion on are people jobless? And I'm not aware that that's the problem. People that go abroad is not going abroad because they don't get jobs here. They go abroad because there's better money on the other side, and that's where that 45% figure comes from. And that figure is down now as it becomes more and more difficult. I know the UK, United Kingdom, those are making it more difficult for people from the outside to get in. So that might be the reason why we get more applications at the moment for the different jobs. And we try to use bursaries as well to keep people and to get them acquainted to that, but it's a good suggestion maybe to fade them in, and maybe this is also where we can do that. And then the last one is on the salary. I don't have the answer for that on state versus private, so maybe Dr. Monsani wants to help on the applicants and the vacancy rate and that type of thing, and how we keep them, and maybe on this side for the salary structure.
Thank you, DM. Your permission to be on the chair. Maybe to add on to what the DM has explained, what are we doing to make the students aware of what the state is actually doing and what is expected from the state veterinarian? I think currently we now, of course, in collaboration with the council and also with the university, on a regular basis, at least once a week, Dr. Majani must indicate, there is a veterinarian that goes to offer lectures at the university as an extra sort of awareness creation as to the involvement of the state in veterinary services, so that we make them aware of, in particular, what is expected of us in terms of import-export regulation, in terms of disease control. And then we are also hoping that, let me say, in the past there used to be a subject, I'm not sure if it is still there, known as veterinary jurisprudence, which was looking at all the legislation within the veterinary profession. And I'm not sure if that is still in place, but yeah, we also making them aware of all the legislation within which veterinary services has responsibilities. And as I indicated, we are committing some resources towards that education. But of course, the involvement of veterinary services in a in the transboundary animal disease area, which also emphasizes the responsibility to look at what is happening in a country from which you are importing animals or even animal products. It's a very important area, particularly related to the opening of borders for international trade purposes. Basically, Chair, I'm trying to say we are trying to make the students aware that veterinary science is not only cutting open a can and removing whatever organ or whatever is not supposed to be there and just patching it up. It involves a little bit of wider thinking. I'm not sure if I'll be able to speak about the differences between salads.
Thanks, DM, and thanks, Chair, and honorable members. I just wanted to speak not about the salaries as yet, but I think I can also ponder an opinion with regards to salaries. But I think state veterinary service is probably the unsexy part, if I can use the phrase, of veterinary services. Classically, when you're a veterinary student, you're almost like a medical doctor. You want to hang your stethoscope on your shoulders and walk around. And nobody here who's working in the state does that. They probably have not touched the stethoscope in a couple of years or so. And that's one paradigm, I think, that has to take place. And for a young person qualifying, you really want to use your surgical skills. You want to cut open and suture and, you know, diagnose new diseases that other people have not diagnosed. So moving from there to becoming a law enforcer, because if you think about disease control, you really have specific functions with regards to disease control measures. So you arrive, you're almost a police officer in some sense, in that from, if you look at foot and mouth control, certain animals are not supposed to leave the zone if they have not been vaccinated and branded. So it's almost a further step away from being a normal, what you would consider a normal veterinarian. It even gets worse that you probably as a vet talk for a living. I think the bulk of us sitting here, we literally talk for a living, in that you are applying veterinary knowledge into policy and determining
it. Yeah, I'm feeling for a tissue with a veteran, yeah, so I just make sure I talk for a living, you see.
I thought that's important to point it out, that so there's also that shift that students have to make for them to consider state veterinary service. Over the years, it has improved, in that the more vets you have, then you can expand your service to begin to build in clinical services. And that's where we've seen young vets coming in. For instance, a couple of them go out and do massive spay campaigns. So they would go in and neuter animals, particularly with, you know, in KZN to control rabies. That's the one part. With regards to salaries, earlier when I made a comment, I had said that we almost, as a consequence, we need to create a new problem, that the entry-level state vet is there. State vet salary is the only state vet salary that remains now, which is at level 10. So whether you are a new state vet, a deputy director, an ordinary state vet, you're all in one level. That's the new creation that we have in place, which is going to create a problem that when you enter, it's lucrative, but in 5 years' time, it will be insufficient. Hence, I was talking about a three-tier OHD-type professional salary progression system. So we will probably start losing vets after they become more useful to us, almost so to speak, because after 5 years, they now begin to understand what sort of work we do and how to do it, but then the salary would not be lucrative to keep them in the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Chairperson, and other members. With regards to, I just want to add on what Dr. Mulisane said about the creating awareness and training of the veterinary students. Yes, they currently have the veterinary jurisprudence course that possibly is going to come to an end around 2014. But what has been brought in is what is called professional life. And that course runs from first year until they reach sixth year. And within that course, there are a number of hours given for state veterinary service, where they are being exposed and trained on state veterinary services. For example, I give lectures to the first year on state veterinary. With my experience from the state veterinary services, I give from the first year. Then you also have primary animal health care. And it also touches on what Dr. Ansaban was saying, that I'm the current chair on primary animal health care at the University of Pretoria. And we're trying to inculcate in them the idea that they need to look beyond treatment. They look to look at production and primary animal health care. And I actually train that from first year up until the sixth year as well. So and there are efforts to make sure that the students have in their mind this attitude of saying it goes beyond the stethoscope that I just put out on my neck. And I've literally seen for example, students get involved in Harman Scroll and in Munisi. And through those sessions, I've seen through their involvement in those communities that they've really got a passion to get involved in communities and assist. And just to also to add on the salaries, it's a difficult question if you look at it. If I open my own practice, it depends on the area and the economic situation in a particular area. I might earn more than a state vet. But if I start working as a veterinary assistant to a going into a practice, then the feedback that I get is that the state veterinary service, the entry salary is very good. But I think the point that Dr. Nsabelo was raising is one of the issues that has to be looked at. Thank you.
Can I add, Chairman? As Deputy Minister, I just asked officials permission to say that we did discuss this in our internal meeting, a weekly meeting, and there is already been busy preparing something on the structure, the salary structure of state vets. And Dr. Mutasani is working on it. I wasn't sure with the media whether I can announce it. It's not an announcement, it's just work in progress. But it means that we are aware of it, but from the way you start, until you solve it, it's quite a long way, but I think you can get the gist of the discussion, and we really hope to address that in the future.
At the risk of venturing into issues that are not relevant to our agenda for the day, I'd really wish us to call it a day. Insofar as the briefing is concerned, I wish to thank the Deputy Minister and the team for a good job well done. Looking forward to future engagements, as I said, on the 14th and 15th, and also That's what we are going through next week. We have actually allocated the whole day again on this particular one. So the venue, as of now, it is still E216. It's a small venue. Certainly, we'll have to work hard to change that venue for a bigger one, trusting that you will not go into the, you know, twing and froing. And then the last point, we have been extended an invitation by the Rural Development Land Affairs for a workshop they are hosting on the 10th to the 12th of August. It's going to be here in Cape Town, I can't remember where. And then Dino might wish to say one or two things about the study tour, which is certainly on for end of August. So she will talk about that.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if my members will be able to hear my voice. The study tour application is still with Mr. Frolic. When I inquired last week regarding the status of that application, I was told that Mr. Frolic has kept only the application that he is going to approve. He has sent back applications that he is not approving. So that response told me that our application is going to be approved. The latest development is that I've been liaising with the missions in Chile and Brazil. There is a draft program already. I have forwarded to the chairperson. He will still look at it, and then I hope it will come to the committee to maybe for rubber stamping. I'm still waiting for a program in Chile. Hopefully this week I will get it, and we'll have a joint, a combined program. I'm also hoping that Mr. Frolic will be able to respond this week. Thank you.
The main object, thanks Deputy Minister, that you are here as well as we're talking about this study tour. The main objects are to look at basically support programs, specifically on external extension services, and also on financing that is affordable and accessible. Now, the question that we would have been asking ourselves, beyond simply having a report that is adopted and sent through to the department for adoption or rather for responses, what is the main object? Why must we go away and learn best practices? At the end of the day, having to come back, bring those experiences to our committee, to Parliament, and also to the department, so that you don't have a situation where you go away for sake of going away. You know, you were on a tour. It was more of an excursion, as it were. So that we are able to work towards a particular goal that we are all going to embrace. Extension services is one major issue that is hard-hitting the industry, as a culture, so to speak. Availability of such, and also being able to say whether indeed we are being effective. So we'll be looking at the whole three areas, culture, forest and fisheries, and also the fact, we did not hear Dr. Maja and Dr. Mashaba to pay for their being here. You wanted to say something, Mama?
I hope rural development is taken into consideration. The 9th is Women's Day, and we will not compromise Women's Day because we will be at the Women's Day event with them. Just be driving back on the 10th. I hope they still remember there are women in this country.
10th is actually arrival. Then the program starts on the 11th and 12th. Women's Day is 9. Well, 10th is arrival day, late in the afternoon. And the actual program starts on the 11th morning. Okay, Deputy Minister?
Let's say if you're going to conclude from my side, just maybe first the action on your tour is not my position, but I think in my own experience, what makes it useful and sensible is some countries already applied certain policies. And before we make the decision, sometimes you can learn from where it was implemented, and it worked or it didn't work, and it helps you to take the short route and to avoid unintended consequences. And that was my experience normally, where it is useful to visit some other places where things may really be done from that. But from my side, if I may say thank you very much on behalf of our team on this side for the way you received us, and for the level of the debate, and I hope we can put this right through. Okay, could you give Mr. Horst also one short one? On a lighter note, if you might end up, you know, normally in parliamentary tradition, the speaker or the chairman sits up there, government on his right-hand side, opposition on his left-hand side. And if I count it here, if we can get a quick vote, we could handle this and finish it all together now today from our side as we are the majority. But I'm giving Mr. Horst the opportunity now.
Thanks, CM and Chair. I just want to say to the members of the committee, thank you very much for what you have done. The way you have listened to our comments and also the presentation. The bigger picture of what we're presenting to you, we are trying to comply with the MDGs, because we have to report, I think it's 2015, this exercise that we're engaging on. It has got a huge impact, particularly in the issues of reducing diseases at rural areas, of which is part of this. And also my second comment is that this about your visit to Chile. I think it excites me because that has been an outcry from the industries. At least now your visit is a response to what industries have been requesting. Particularly Chile has become our biggest competitor, not only on wine, but also in quite a wide range of horticultural products. So it will have a huge impact in terms of understanding on how the parliament should support the department to deal with the issues of competitiveness, of which currently we're struggling because of the manner in which things have been happening, the inheritance that we've been having. Thank you very much.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
What time do you start the war with Dr. Msiva?
My friend.
Can I arrive when one of you are dead or
dead? Hopla Mendes.
So that I can see the shoulder to the crying.
Mendes. He used to teach us virology.
No.
Okay. I thought you were going to excuse me.
Or start killing her, no.
Exactly. That will also do.
Don't worry. Officially, unofficially, for our support.
Thank you.
And I'm actually even more critical of the whole thing. But I'm trying to not be biased.